Well, let's pray and get right into the Word. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to the knowledge that You have left us concerning Your Word. Father, we want to give You honor by acknowledging what You have said. And Father, we want to conform to it totally. Father, man doesn't live by natural bread alone, but also by every word spoken by You. Father, we know that we can face our adversary as Jesus did by taking the same point of view. We'll live by every word that God has said. And so today, Father, as I share the word, may Your people get it and may they run with it. May whatever I say today set them free so that they can be everything that You desire them to be. In You, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 4 again. Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to make an appeal to you like Paul did in several of his epistles. He said, I beseech you, brother, pay attention to what I'm saying. And whenever he said that, it's because what he was saying was very important for us to get a hold of. And it wasn't until recently when God woke me up in the middle of the night supernaturally. I heard His voice very plain. And He began quoting scriptures that I was familiar with. And He said I knew Him from my natural understanding, but I didn't know Him from my spirit. And that was confusing to me. Because you can read something and not know it. And I kept reading it and I exhausted myself in trying to reach beyond what I already knew about it. And He said something to me that He never did before. He said, I want you to write it down according to the Greek and then read it to yourself according to the original text that God had so gloriously preserved for us. And so I got up and I wrote it down, wrote it on paper. And I kept reading it, and I wasn't getting it. And so let's look at the scripture here. What then shall we say, verse 1 of Romans 4, that Abraham, our father, has found according to flesh? And notice what he says in that verse. He says, Abraham, our father. You know, most of the time when we hear the name Abraham, we think of the father of the Jews. You know, we think that the Jewish nation had a father by the name of Abraham because the Jewish nation claimed that Abraham was their father. But when you get into New Testament scripture, we find that he was not only the father of the nation of Israel, he's also the father of the Gentile nations that has come in through Christ. Isn't that amazing? And here's what he said. He said, what has Abraham, our father, found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture says? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Underline the word accounted. Accounted. In my margin for that statement, it says imputed or credited or reckoned. Literally, it means that something was accredited to him that he had not yet possessed. Now watch this. This is going to help you. It sure has helped me. So let's jump ahead a little bit. And let's go to, let's not jump ahead. Let's go on and read. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come
upon the circumcised only, he's referring to the Jewish nation, or upon the uncircumcised also. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Accounted. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Notice, not just the Jew only, but all those who believe. Now watch this. How many of you know what truth is? What is truth? What is the, I better word it this way. What is the result of truth? People, what is the result of truth? How many of you cry out, always wanting to know truth? So what is the result of truth? You shall know the truth. And it'll make you free. When you get into understanding the Word of God, you're dealing with truth. And if you really begin to understand the truth that you're dealing with, it'll free you. If it binds you up more, you've got a problem. But if it frees you up, you don't have a problem because you're understanding the results of what truth is. And today I hope this message will do that very thing for you. Set you free. By learning something that has made me a prisoner for a long time, dealing with the subject of faith, and not realizing that when you're dealing with the subject of faith, you're dealing with another power twin that goes with it called hope. Now I want you to follow me very closely. He goes on and said that he's the father of circumcision to those who not only are of circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness, notice this, of faith. Faith has a righteousness to it, not an unrighteousness. Now watch me. He says, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void or emptied, and the promise made of no effect. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be, notice, sure. In the Greek, it's certain. Certain that the promise might be certain. You know, when you say certain, isn't it usually because you want to get a point across to somebody that when I'm speaking to you, I'm being very certain about what I'm saying. Amen. Now watch this. He said to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father, notice, of us all. So when we talk about faith, we include ourselves in with the Jew as well, because the Jew and the Gentile have the same father. Why? Because Abraham linked us up not only with Israel, but with the Gentile nations. Through his faith, he linked us together. Woo, why? Because I said it before last Sunday. Abraham wanted a child. And he didn't realize that God also wanted children. And so God went to the guy that had the same desire that he wanted. And he says, guess what, Abraham? You desire kids. And Abraham says, amen. And God says, so do I. He said, so let's hook up and have kids. Let's go on and read. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of unrighteousness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. How do you present your members as of righteousness? By the term faith. For when you were slaves of sin... Oh, just a minute. I had jumped one ahead. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You know what this statement here is? In the Greek it says, one who speaks into existence what doesn't exist. Talking about what God says. Now watch this. Who contrary to hope in hope believes so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Actually, it's in the death of Sarah's womb. In other words, it was always in the state of death. She would never, ever be able to have children, even from the time they got hooked up. Her womb was dead. It wasn't in the process of dying by age. Her womb was already dead. His body became dead through the process of age. Now notice this. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was empowered by faith, given glory to God. And notice what he also adds to it. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to do. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed what God said. But I got news for you. Let's read on. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. And watch this next verse. I want you to get a hold of this. He said, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised through the justification of us. It means if we were not justified, he could not come out of the grave. It means that God justified us so that he could come out of the grave. What was the purpose of that? I'm glad you're asking that question. You know, ever since I started getting hold of the faith message, it did a number on my natural thinking. And so when I started reaching out and asking questions about the message of faith, I was told, don't get into that subject. Because many of those who preach the message of faith, they don't realize what they're doing. They say, well, what are they doing? They're actually thinking, now this is what I was told, they're actually thinking that they can tell God what to do. Well, when I was hearing the message of faith, I wasn't hearing it with the ears to try to get God to meet my every demand. That was not my purpose. My purpose was, if God wants me to trust him, then surely that's a good thing to find or to discover, is to have faith in him. And so I went to the old Strong's Concordance, and I found that the word faith was not mentioned except a couple of times in the Old Testament, in the latter prophets, but it was the word trust. The word trust. And I was confused because the message of faith from the Old Testament to the New Testament, my understanding is it works. The message of faith works whether you're an Old Testament believer or a New Testament. Or otherwise, why would Abraham be an example to us as our father of faith? Now, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to unconfuse a whole lot of people here. Because I got unconfused. Matter of fact, I got so unconfused this last week, all I could do is God was speaking to me and clarifying things. I'm sitting there and I'm weeping. I don't know how to gather myself. And I kept saying, why haven't we seen this before? And God says, you just got to the place you could. Now listen, what people don't understand about the message of faith is because they have this preconceived idea that you can just go to God and get anything you want. But my understanding of faith was not from that direction. My understanding of faith was that I can trust God in a promise that He had left me concerning His will and partake of it. Not that I was trying to be rebellious and step outside of God and have my own hope in whatever I wanted. My faith, my understanding of faith, was to believe God for what He has left me as an inheritance that I can perform to give glory back to God. But I didn't understand what it meant to give glory back to God. You know what giving glory back to God? It's not God sitting up there and saying, now He's got it right, now I'm pleased with Him. No, me giving glory back to God is that when I get so excited about a revelation that God has given me that has helped me in my life and has set me free and that it is His direct will for mankind, now I can go and spread that to somebody else and then God gets the glory that He's seen the result of His word working in me for the sake of somebody else. Glory to God. So any victory I get is not because I'm bragging on God. It's because I'm emanating the love that God has given me for my hope to have faith to give it substance for somebody else. About time we get out of our box. We always think about ourselves. Now watch this. God, why can't they see it? That the understanding of faith is so clear. That Abraham, our father, was even empowered by it so that he would become a father of many. And he did. He not only had Isaac, God said, not only will you have Isaac, but out of Isaac, I'll have my kids. You guys are the result of it. Who, for the hope that was set before Jesus, when He had such contradiction of sinners whose hope was set. You know what that meant? When Jesus stood trial, He had hope. He had hope that His sacrifice would bring many sons to glory. Woo-hoo! Now here's a problem. Why don't many of these New Testament believers actually see the operation of faith? When they're sitting there and they're giving the wrong interpretation of what faith is really all about. It's not so we can get our own way and do what we want. Our faith is really predicated on the revealed will of God so that we would conform to what He has for us. Now, when I read this particular passage, I was directly led by God to go to this book and get this particular passage. And when I read this story, I was shocked. I read it Wednesday night for those that were here. But when I read that story, I began to weep and I said, my God, that is so true. Did you know that people who believe in eternal security use this scripture in John that says, I can't be taken out of His hands. And the ones who believe that will live their own lifestyle, their own way, and use that scripture, they can never be plucked from my hand, predicated on the fact that once I'm saved, I can do anything I want, regardless of anything else, because I'm saved. But really, you got to read that verse in that scripture in its text. It says, those that hear my voice, they can't be taken. You want me to read you this story? I got to give Mark Hankin credit for it. He had it in his book. And it's so appropriate. Here it is. Long lines of jobless Americans were a common sight in the larger cities during the Great Depression here in the United States. Long periods of unemployment had caused many to lose faith in themselves and in their future. Feeling angry and humiliated, many were living on charity.
One of my favorite stories happened during this period in our nation's history about an employer who announced he had one job available. As the word got out, a long line of applicants formed outside his office for an interview and a chance at employment. His secretary showed applicants into the boss's office one at a time. And during the middle of the process, he looked out his window and he saw the long line. Now watch this. One man suddenly ran from the back of the line, past the secretary, and right into the boss's office. In a few minutes, the boss came out with the man and announced to the others waiting in line that they could go home. Can you imagine what that's like? Because this man had the job. And many began to complain how unfair it was that the man had not waited his turn. The boss explained that during the interview process, he had thought of a quicker way to select the best person for the job because he needed someone who could understand, are you ready? Morse code. So he tapped out so that everyone could hear in the line. If you can hear this, jump up now and run into my office and you have the job. All the men and women in line heard the tapping, just as the one who left the line. But it did not mean anything to them. However, it changed the life of this one new employer. Everybody, anybody, somebody, faith begins with hearing a certain sound that other people cannot hear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all earth, and their words into the end of the earth. I like this definition of whatsoever, everybody, anybody can, but somebody will. Jesus continually used the word whosoever. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you mate, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Our hearing has a lot to do with our having. Some said that there are two groups of people, the haves and have-nots. Jesus also implied that there are two groups of people, the hearers and the hear-nots. That isn't good English, but you know what I mean. Faith comes by hearing a certain sound. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice this very carefully. When I was reading about Abraham's faith, I've always dealt with a troubling issue within my heart concerning the message of faith. And I begin to realize that what I heard coming out of certain believers was this thing. This is what they were saying. They were saying, be careful of them faith teachers, because they can put a false hope in you. Some of you might have even heard somebody say that. You got to be careful, because they can destroy your hope in the Lord if you pay attention to what they're saying. Because after all, God is sovereign, and he will do what he wants to do. I'm going to tell you something, people. If you think that way, then you don't understand faith. Now, let me unfold a mystery to you. The first time I gave you this message last Sunday, I shared with you about the Old Testament hope. It's vague, but it's always future. And there was a lot of scriptures concerning the Old Testament's faith that I was to follow, but their outcome was different than mine. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to tell you something about hope. Just until recently, God showed me that our hope is different than the Old Testament believer's hope. How is it different? Well, gosh, I'm glad you guys asked me this question. Turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11.
You know, I love the book of Hebrews because it does more to glorify the position we as Gentiles are in by clearing up to those who want to defect from Christianity and go back into Judaism. Now notice what is being said here. I want you to get a hold of this. Hebrews 11. Let me get there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by this the elders obtained or received a word from God. I'm giving it to you out of the Greek. By faith we understand that the world, the ages, not the cosmos, the ages, to have been adjusted by a rhema of God, so that the things which are, what? Seen, their faith, were not made of things which are visible. Then it goes on and gives a long list of Old Testament believers and their faith. Their faith was the same as our faith, but their outcome was different than ours. What made their outcome different than ours? Well, I never understood this. Old Testament hope, get a hold of this, I wrote this down. Old Testament hope scaled the whole concept of the kingdom of God beyond their time frame, clear to the end of this fallen world. They were willing to be an example of the history of God's plan for mankind, even though their hope could not change the conditions they lived in for all of mankind. But New Testament hope is the result of their faith for us and all of mankind that's found in Christ. Our hope is for each and every person that would hear us. Because our hope took a change. When I read that in that New Testament theology book, I was shocked. It said it took a new change. It wasn't like the Old Testament believers. Our hope took a change. It took a change called the rebirthing of hope. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And when I saw that, I went, what in the world is he talking about? He's talking about that when Jesus manifested, completed his walk with God, died and rose again, a new hope was given to our time period, our time frame. And this hope is called ellipsis, which literally means a hope that has a beginning and an end. And their hope had a beginning, but didn't have an end. But their faith worked the same as our faith works for it, but ours has a completed end, and they didn't have a completed end until after they had already went up and be with the Lord, because their hope was predicated on a heaven itself that Christ was not seated in. But he's seated there now, and our hope is changed. What God had promised us during our time period, we can have. Thank you. See, our faith has substance. If faith is based upon seeing only, then it exempts hope. Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25. What do you yet hope for? Now, what keeps my faith going? Here's the key. Faith mixed with your hope. Now, why can you hang on to your hope? Because God displayed his love through Jesus for your hope, which now your faith can give substance to your hope. Now, how would you like to be like those in the Old Testament, having seen the promises afar off, but knew they weren't going to partake of them? Well, thank you. Thank you for asking me that question. Go to, are you guys there at Hebrews chapter 11? Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. It's talking about the Old Testament believers having a faith in God, but they were a part of the example of the kingdom of God working on behalf of God for humanity, mankind. But our faith, now having the author and finisher of it, which is in Christ, now has a completed end to our hope. That's why the word hope for us today, New Testament, is not found in the book of Revelations. You want to know why? Because during the last 7-year period of this planet Earth, if you have hope in Jesus, if you listen to the message of getting saved, but after that, you have no hope unless you learn how to survive, baby, until the end. Otherwise, you will be martyred for your faith in Him. Now, why is it that they would have faith, even willing to die for it? Because when God exposes Himself during that last 7-year period, He exposes Himself to their physical man. Supernaturally. He's exposing Himself now through His Spirit. But during that last 7-year period, He will open your eyes up and you will look into the heavens and you will see the gospel being preached by angels. You'll see the gospel being preached by two witnesses that are raised from the dead. You're going to see the 144,000 converted Israel Jews preaching the gospel. And the converts that received Jesus during that last 7 years, they'll be preaching Christ. And how the Antichrist is exposed, or actually Satan is exposed through the Antichrist, is God shows him a sign in heaven, the whole plan that has happened to mankind, and He exposes the Antichrist. No, He's not exposing the Antichrist. He's exposing Satan behind all of it. And therefore, when the Antichrist, or when Satan saw that he was exposed in the heavens to the entire inhabitants of the earth, then he turned and declared himself as God before the Jewish nation to take it out. I'm going to tell you something, people. You and I have been living. We've been taking airplane flights and not realizing that we could sit up in the passengers, and most believers are sitting down in the baggage area. I'm going to tell you something. It's about time we quit sitting in the baggage area. It's about time that we understand that faith is a revealed will of God for our hope to remain intact. But if your hope does not remain intact, your faith is useless. And that's why those that don't understand the message of faith, they don't realize what they're doing. They're actually removing a trust in what God promised us so that we would have hope and our faith would keep us attached to it, just like it did Abraham. Now, look at how this ends up. Look at this. I understand it now. It goes on and tells us that their faith went beyond their time frame. And they were stoned and they were sawn in two. And they were tempted and they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented. Boy, that don't fit the gospel we hear today. Notice this. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained, did not receive the promise of God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Did you get that? He was saying their faith had a future hope, and they knew they weren't going to be partakers of that promise. But they were committed to God, to the history of what God wanted the kingdom of God to look like in the earth, so that we would come into the kingdom of heaven in a completed hope that we can have in the last time before God comes and takes the church out of here. People, I got news for you. If you don't believe in a rapture, you're undermining the faith of many. Because Jesus Christ has provided everything for you that you need without any reservations. And as long as you have that will revealed to Him, your faith can give your hope substance. And what the church is trying to do is remove hope, thinking that they're doing service to faith, the message of faith, the incorrectness of the message of faith. And what they're doing is they're removing hope so that your faith doesn't work for you. That's why they always have a conclusion in their faith by the witness of people. And it said if you had the witness of a man, the witness of God is more sure. Well, I know Sister So-and-so. I know about her. She's a godly woman. And yet she died. Well, she was in the same atmosphere that many of us can get into. An atmosphere of negativity. You can't put a false hope in these people. Because they're looking at truth through the, what, senses. We're looking at truth through the Spirit. What makes our faith different than theirs? Their faith and our faith operate the same. Trust God. But what was different in the foundation of their was the foundation of their hope versus our hope. That was the difference. Well, He is the author and finisher of our faith. You know something? Mike Huffman and I, we were talking at the men's breakfast. The last men's breakfast, I looked into Mike's face and I saw death. And when we were in the men's breakfast yesterday morning, Mike started preaching to me. And I'm about ready to have a fit. What he's saying. And I looked at his face. Life. Yep. It looked different. And you know what he was preaching to me? I told him, Mike, do you know what you're preaching to me? And Mike goes, yes, I do. I said, do you know it by Scripture? What do you mean? I said, you're preaching Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 to me. Oh, and I said, matter of fact, God told me, that's yours. Go to Romans chapter 5. You don't mind me sharing this, do you, Mike? What's Mike supposed to do? Stand up? No. We're going to give glory to God, Mike, for what He's doing for you. In Romans chapter 5, look at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works perseverance or patience. And patience, proof. And proof, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. And when I have a hope, especially of a healing in my body, I know the love of God wants me to be healed. And as long as I keep my hope, my faith will carry it to the end of my healing. And that'll work for anything else that you desire in God, that you know God wants you to have. How many of you know that God wants to provide for you in spite of your disappointment in having provision made for you? That's why in Matthew chapter 5, He goes into detail. Consider the lilies of the field. They sow not, nor do they toil. It means that God, when you come into His kingdom, a part of His kingdom to you is He promises to take care of you. Yeah. Isn't that good news? The problem is we got believers trying to rip us off of our hope because they have an attitude against the message of faith. Listen, your hope is important because if you don't keep your hope, you don't have faith to give it substance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm preaching against those negative things. Why? Because if you don't keep a hold of your faith, or no, if you don't keep a hold of your hope, then you have no faith. We got to look at it differently. Thank God I can now approach God on the basis of what He says we can hope for, not what we can judge over. Are you following what I'm saying? You all ought to be up dancing and shouting. We ought to play some music that calls for dancing and shouting. Because your faith, your hope is different than the Old Testament people. You have a hope that has an author and a finisher of your faith. It means that you can complete your faith by staying a hold of your hope. And we have been told, stay away from the faith message because it will give you a false hope. What they don't realize is they're destroying what your faith is going to give substance to. And that is hope. Well, I don't know about you. If your faith is only based upon what you see, then Romans 8, you better get a hold of those two verses, 24 and 25. It says, then why do you still hope for it if you can see it? What's the benefit of your faith if you can see it? The benefit of your faith is to bring your hope to pass. Think about that. The benefit of your faith is so that your hope will come to pass. Why? Because your hope has an end. Why? Jesus authored it and finished it. And when did He author it? He authored it back in the Old Testament. The subject of faith is the same. What makes it different is the hope, the outcome of your faith. Your faith is fully matured in Him. You know, a lot of people don't want to hold on to hope because they don't have no confidence in themselves. I'm going to tell you the first thing that hope has for you is that you have been justified before God, whether you believe it or not. If you don't get anything out of this message, just get this. You've been justified before God. I'm going to tell you something. God's not always pleased with the stupid choices we make. But God always declares you justified. And I'm going to tell you something. Right in the middle of you making a mistake, you're still justified. And guess what? Right in the middle of you making a mistake, knowing that you made it, all you have to do is repent and say, God, help me. And He says, hey, amen. I'll help you. But you know what your natural mind will say? Now, you can't hope for something that you know you trash. Hey, I got news for you. God will take care of what you trash from one moment to the next until you quit trashing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's not trying to cover sin. What He's trying to do is get you stabilized so that you don't fall back into it. That's all He's trying to do. Just think if He wrote you off the first time you made a mistake after you got saved. Whoops. There would be nobody in heaven. I like these people who want to argue about how bad sin is. So they'll go through the equation of God and they say, well, you know how God looks at sin. Sin is sin. If you do a little sin, it makes no difference whether you're doing a little one or a big one. I got news for you. In the mind of God, that's true. But in the mind of man, it isn't. Did you know that? All sin is not the same in the minds of men. Men are the ones who value the depthness of sin, not God. And so that doesn't move God because of man's thinking of sin. God always stays in love with you, always on fire for you, and always willing to help you in spite of the messes you get yourself into. Or if that wasn't the case, we'd all be in trouble. You know what I'm telling you? I like what Keith Hersey said. I'm validating what he said. It's not that we love God, but it's that He loves us. Changes the whole outcome of everything. Okay, I'll shut up. I feel like I've got a new weapon in my hands. You know what I mean? I feel like faith is not going to be a struggle for me now, as long as I understand hope. I know that He's the author and finisher of my hope. Well, He's not the author and finisher of my hope if I want to continue in sin or missing the mark with God. That's stupid. That's like shooting yourself, committing suicide. But when I get into the Word of God and I find out what His revealed will is, I have a new kind of hope set in me. The problem that causes us to stumble is when people say, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah? Yeah. I love you. How much money you got? How do you like the men that goes to the women? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And they'll gravitate towards a good-looking woman. Hi, Isabel. I love you. But she can pick up right away. How much do you really love me? Is it according to flesh? Because she's so cute. Or is it according to the love of God that's grown in my heart for her? Are you following what I'm saying? See, God knows the intentions of our heart. People, I kid you not. God knows the intention of your heart. His word even says, I know your thoughts and intents of your heart. If your heart is right with God in spite of you, guess what? You keep your hope going and your faith will give substance to it. You see, we had to gravitate towards holding on to our faith. And if that's the only thing that you can think about, you're going to miss the other part that goes with faith called hope, because faith and hope are power twins. You can't have one without the other. The reason I preach the faith message is I want to give you the truth of what hope really is in God. And not in the witness of men, but in the power of God. And I want to get my hope fulfilled. Why? Because I can brag to a world that needs the same love. Not to prove that me and God are tight. And you all are sinners. I know people who have believed that way. They wanted to get self-glory to prove to mankind how tight them and God are. Like, you know what that does in God's nostrils? Stinks. He wants you to have victory in the area of your hope so that you can spread the love of God to others. That's why now abideth faith, hope, and love. When you come against a faith message, those people have a love problem. They have a hope problem. Did you get something today? Do you see that in Hebrews chapter 11? Because it always puzzled me. Why is their hope so different than ours? But the faith is the same. I could never figure that out. And that's when God showed me. Because their hope is different than our hope. Their hope was to establish the kingdom of God or the witness of God in the earth. Wow, wasn't that great of them to leave us an example for us? People, do you appreciate that? Yeah. I kind of like Sue. She says, if you're going to be boring, I'm not interested. But if you get excited, then she's interested. Well, that's what the world is. If you're excited about your gospel, you'll reach the world. Amen. Can you imagine sitting there, well, how come he got the job and he just got out of line and got out? Because he knew he could hear
what the tapping on the, that all of them heard it. That qualified him. Well, it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. What are you willing to hear? Are you willing to hear through your natural man? Are you willing to hear what God is saying? Thank you, Father, for these wonderful people that you have given me. Put a fire under them. No, forgive me. You're not helping me any at all. You're just sitting there. Are you excited? Well, I'm glad you guys have a hope. Anybody around here got hope? We got to have hope. Well, then we'll be in faith as long as we have hope. I'm going to tell you something. If you destroy a person's hope, you better start praying that they recover from it. Because when you ruin a person's hope, sometimes they don't recover from it. That means they can't operate in faith again. They don't have any confidence to it. Aren't you glad we're a perfect church? Oh, brothers, right. Tina, you said that. And how long have I known you? And you sit there and say, oh, brother. Stand up, everybody. Do you know that before you get saved, you have no hope? The only hope that you possess is what the world gives you. And that's no hope at all. But when you become a believer in Christ, you now have a hope that has substance. Why? Because right away you receive an inheritance. Right now. You can receive an inheritance right now. God spoke through Dino and said, now is the time. It's now. He even narrowed it down. It's not even a minute away. But right now. See, that's what faith, our faith is. Our faith is now. Their faith was future. Our faith is now. That's what makes our hope different. See, we're not called to complete the plan of God for another dispensation or generation to follow. We are the generation that followed the example of what they laid. Thank God for their faith. But our hope is different. Our hope is different. And I want to tell you something. Whenever you get a hold of hope and you start looking at what God's going to do for you, your faith is working. Yeah. See, I always question my faith. We need to question our hope. We need to take a look at what we're hoping for. Are we listening to the devil? Are we listening to people? Or are we listening to God? Because your hope is should be upon what God said. He said he gave a promise. He couldn't swear by anybody any greater than himself. And so when he even gave the promise to Abraham, he didn't even want Abraham to be the one to trust in it. He said, I'll make myself the own beneficiary for both of us. What a God! People, you are gloriously blessed. If you want to fly TWA in the belly of the aircraft, go ahead. But you can go first class if you want to. Hallelujah. They set it up for us. Why? Because they didn't want us to be completely unperfected. Because their testimony not only was complete for them, but it belongs to us too. Yes, amen. We can brag on Abraham all we want. But I tell you what, everything that Abraham gave was for us. Yep. Trouble is we have too many fowls of the air trying to steal our hope. People say, got to protect my faith. No, you got to protect your hope and your faith will work. You got to get that. Now faith is a substance. He said that the very first verse before he even got into the entire chapter. Father, I believe right now if there's anybody here in our auditorium that has never said the sinner's prayer, that has never really given their heart to you, been thinking about it, but not really making the commitment, we're going to open up the altar right now for them. They can come forward and receive you, and then you can put a completeness to their hope by your revealed will, by your promises. Father, when you promise something, you're a man that cannot lie. But Father, we have a hope problem. And we need to quit emptying our faith of hope. Retain our hope and we retain our faith. And so Father, if they are in the world and they have no hope, Father, we welcome them to come forward so we can pray for them. We want them to live a living hope, a revised hope, a hope that comes with being born again. Oh, hallelujah. So that Jesus can be the author and finisher of their faith. And dear Father, if anyone here is void of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they need the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Just like he was communicating to Mike. He can communicate to anybody the Word of God to them without even them having their Bible. They can hear God's voice in their spirit. That is such a powerful strength that we all have. Hallelujah. And God will confirm what he has spoke to them by the Spirit by lining it up with the Word of God. Oh, what a joy. What a privilege. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to give an altar call on this one. I don't want you to come forward because this involves every one of us here this morning. Okay? There are many of you in this auditorium that had a hope that you've abandoned. And God wants you to pick that hope up again. And by picking it up, you'll activate your faith and you'll see a change. We need to do that this morning. So here's what I want you to do. I want you, by act, I want you to bend over and pick up the hope that you dropped. If you dropped a hope, reach over and pick it up, the hope that you let go. And I want you to take that hope and I want you to put it to your heart. Put that hope to your heart right now. And I want you to say, God, forgive me for letting this hope go because I trust in your love more than anything else. And by me taking this hope so that I can give glory to someone else, I ask that you forgive me for letting it go. I receive it again to myself. And I will trust in you bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know my faith will work. Say this with me. And I know my faith will work for me. Hallelujah. If I keep my hope. Say it. If I keep my hope. Do you receive that?
Yes.
You better. Because if you come up to the altar now, I'll smack you. People, I'm going to tell you, we're all prone to wrong choices. With people and with things. Every one of us. But you know what? God is not moved by your wrong choices. He's moved by your recommitment. And with that said, you can go home. God bless you all.